Blog Talk Radio.
Cheryl, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Sorry, man, I've been having
Friday as soon as this time. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you over the music.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Transformation Zone. We're so excited to have you with us this evening. We've been experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're not going to let that impede our progress because we have a show for you tonight that you are going to be so excited about, because I'm extremely excited about our guest this evening, because she is a powerhouse of information and transformation, and I'm just so happy that she took time out of her busy schedule to spend the next 30 minutes with us. And that is none other than the incomparable Madam Cheryl Wood. Cheryl, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Thrilled to be here.
Well, we're excited about having you. Sorry for the technical difficulty that we had this evening, but you know how technology is with us novices.
That's it. That's it. Hey, when it works, it's wonderful, and when it doesn't, it's a pain. So we just keep things moving.
No. I'm telling you, it's amazing. But we're here now, and we're going to spend the next 25 minutes talking a little bit about the things that you do, the things that you bring to the table, and some of the things that I know, and then we're going to talk a little bit more because you're going to be able to give us an education on some of the topics that are near and dear to your heart. You know, I was doing some research, and I was looking back, and I know I've heard you speak on a couple of occasions. But for our audience, one of the things that was just mind-boggling to me in one of your recent comments is that you were either a law clerk or a paralegal at one point?
I was a legal secretary. Yes.
Now, here's the amazing part to me, and this is why, you know, the show is called The Transformation Zone. And you went from being a legal secretary to actually speaking to a conference of attorneys recently. Is that right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. Talk about transformation, right?
I'm telling you that. I mean, when you talk about transforming your world, that is a whirlwind transformation. And I want you to just take a couple of minutes to tell the story, because when I saw that and I read that and I said, Gert, when I sit down, because Cheryl and I have been in the same place. And we've had some time before either of us have spoken to just spend a couple of minutes. I said, I'm going to ask this woman how in the world that happened and how she evolved to that level. But now I'm going to put you on blast and let you tell everybody exactly how you made that happen.
Yeah, I mean, so in 2009, I had been at that point working as a legal secretary pretty much my entire adult life. So for almost 15 years, that's what I had been doing. And I believe we do what we know how to do until we're willing to take a risk and do something completely new that stretches us, that expands us, and that pushes us into a zone where we're just like, how do I do this? And we're not sure. And there's a little bit of skepticism. I think that's where our sweet spot is. So in 2009, after working for, you know, nearly 15 years as a legal secretary, I just decided I wanted something different. And really the reason I wanted something different was because my life had transformed. I was a mother of three, you're talking, you know, 8 years ago. So now my kids are 9, 10, and 13. So you're talking I had like a one-year-old, two-year-old, and a five-year-old at the time. And I just wanted to be more present for my children. So because of that, I knew that I needed to transform my daily routine, which at that time was going and punching a time clock and building somebody else's dream. And so that required that I drop my kids off at about 6 o'clock a.m. every morning to get to my good job, right, at my good government job, as I like to say. And then I didn't get off till about 5:30, so I would get to the kids at about 6 p.m., in the evenings, which meant somebody else was really raising my kids, because if somebody's with your kid for 12 hours a day, somebody else is raising them, and that's how I felt.
Well,
so it was that pulling and tugging of the spirit of a mom who really wanted to be engaged and active and present, like mind, body, and spirit. Like, you know, even when I got to my kids, I was there present in body, but my mind and my spirit was somewhere else because I was exhausted, I was tired, I was angry, I was frustrated. I was like, Lord, there has to be another way. And that is the thing that caused me to get my, as I like to say, my big toe wet as an entrepreneur. Now, mind you, with this whole transformation, nobody gave me a blueprint. You know, I didn't have a handbook of how to do it, but I had such a desire that desire was strong enough to push me to take risks and just try to figure it out. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They never get started because they're waiting for a handbook or they're waiting for this blueprint, you know, with all of these plays in it, and you're not always going to get the full blueprint. You got to just jump in and say, you know what, I'm going to figure this thing out. So I started reading books about entrepreneurship. You know, I started kind of jumping on and looking at what people were doing as entrepreneurs, and I said, okay, well, if they can do it, why can't I? So I saw entrepreneurship. I started viewing entrepreneurship as a way to get me out of what I considered an existence and into what would be me living life, which also would connect me to my passion, to purpose, to serving other people, to creating a legacy, and most importantly, to creating economic empowerment for myself and for my family. And so that's how it started. In 2009, I started a T-shirt business while I was still working my full-time job. Now, hear that, because, you know, I wanted change, but that didn't mean I could just jump and change everything because I still had bills to pay. So I kept my good government job while I was trying to figure it out. I didn't leave my job, and too many people jump in the ship, and then they cry in the blues that they can't pay their bills. So you got to stay in it, if, you know, and let that job, if you're in that situation, let that job be the thing that finances your dream. So I kept the full-time job because I didn't want to create havoc in my own household. I knew that my family needed that financial contribution that I brought into the household. So I couldn't just walk away. But I could get started on something else. So I got started on this T-shirt business. I called it Moms Are the Best. It was literally a T-shirt company where I would print all these inspirational slogans on T-shirts. Some of them were funny. Some of them were serious, you know. But they were all designed to empower women and moms who do so much in the world but oftentimes don't get celebrated. So I felt like, well, hey, we got to celebrate ourselves. Now, the key with that, with the whole piece of the transformation was – I didn't just create something where I was going to be chasing money. I didn't look in the marketplace and say, oh, what's going to make me the most money the quickest? Because that wasn't my interest. I truly wanted to transform my life. I didn't just want to make some more money. I wanted to transform my life, which meant legacy was attached to it, which meant creating generational wealth was attached to it. So I knew if I was going to stick with it for the long haul, that it had to be connected to something I was passionate about. And at the time, you know, I was all into being a mommy. I was, you know, again, I had three babies. So I connected the business to something I talked about all the time anyway, which was being a mom. So I would go to these vendor events on weekends, set up a table, sell T-shirts, or at least try to sell T-shirts. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. And 18 months into doing that, while I still had the full-time gig, 18 months into doing that, I got a phone call that literally transformed my life. And that phone call was from somebody at Morgan State University who had heard about my T-shirt business and who asked me to come in to their conference. It was an annual women's conference they hosted. And they just asked me, hey, would you come in? Would you teach other moms how to start their own businesses just like you have? And I burst out laughing because I was like, you are not looking for me. I was not a speaker. I wasn't even thinking about being a speaker. Like, nothing in me said, oh, you're going to be a speaker. So I thought. But clearly, sometimes doors open on the journey when you're trying to figure it out. That's why it's so important to just get started because the transformation happens through the process. So for me, I after I laughed and they said, no, we're really looking for you. We really want you to come and speak. I went and spoke, and oh, my God, it was September 18th, 2010. I'll never forget. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I went, and I was so nervous. My palms were sweating. My heart was racing. I was like, why did I say yes? Why did I say yes? And I got up on the stage, and I just gave it my all. And after I finished, I knew in that moment I was born to speak. And from that point forward, that's what I've been pursuing, speaking.
You know, it's amazing because after knowing you for a couple of years now, it's hard to imagine Cheryl Wood being afraid to step up on stage and speak.
I know, right? I tell people all the time, you know, I actually used to be shy. I used to be shy, and I know people are always like, girl, stop lying. But I used to be shy.
Well, you know,
but
I
when you look, when you're pursuing transformation and pursuing greatness, you don't have time to be shy, you know?
That's right. Well, you know, I say the same thing, but people say to me, oh, yeah, when you're asleep.
When you're asleep, I like that.
And I'm gonna say that to you. Yeah, you shy when you're asleep.
When I'm asleep. Yeah, let's just stick with that.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, Cheryl, it's been a journey, and you've written. Now, here's something I need you to clarify for me, because I've been doing my, as your mama, and I know you're gonna give me credit for this. I've been doing my homework, and. At one place it says you've written 3 books, but I found 4.
Yes, which means wherever you saw 3, it needs to be updated.
Okay.
I have actually, yes, so I have authored 4 books. 2 of them were solo projects, and 2 of them were anthologies that I compiled. So I pulled in other women to share their stories in those projects. So, yeah, I'm very proud of all 4 projects. They all speak to the power of being courageous enough and fearless enough to get out and get what you want. They speak to the power of helping yourself. When you say you want to succeed, it's, you know, shifting your mindset and feeding your mind positive things. And again, each of them kind of gives a little bit of my background, a little bit of my story, while also giving other women the opportunity to share their story, because I think there's so much power in our stories. And too many of us don't tell our stories. Like, we just tell what we're selling, especially as entrepreneurs in the marketplace. Oh, I'm selling this or I'm selling that. But I can find probably 20 people who are selling exactly what you're selling, like in a 10-mile radius of where I live at. So the thing that's really going to make me do business with you is knowing something, feeling like I know you as a person, something more about why you do what you do. And once I connect with your why and I know where the passion stems from for what you do and that it's not just about you getting a credit card or getting a check, then there's a deeper connection for me as the customer. And now I want to patronize you in your business, and I want to tell my friends and my family and refer them to your business. So there's something different, a shift that happens when you start telling your story.
Well, you know, now I'm going to make you go into one of these, because I saw the title of this book, and after I saw the title, I had to take my glasses off, rub my eyes, put them back on, and read it again. And the title says, How I Flatlined, Woke Up in 45 Days. And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, now, hold on. You flatlined and you woke up 45 days later? Tell me.
And see, that's what a good book does, right? It pulls you in. It pulls you in. So for me, the flatline.
That's medical science at its best. Tell us
what
happened.
Yes. So for me, it was more of a symbolic flatlining. Like, I literally felt so disconnected from life. I felt like I had lost my heartbeat in life. Because, again, I'm going back 8 years ago when I was like so many other women who were going and punching a time clock and getting a check. But it's literally like, your eyes are glossed over. Like, you don't even, you just wake, okay, let me wake up, let me get dressed, let me drop the kids off, let me go here, let me go there, let me go to work, let me come back home. I mean, that is not, for me, it had moved beyond a place of, I just didn't feel like I was living at all. Like, there was no heartbeat, there was no passion, there was no fire in my belly. I didn't wake up excited every day. In fact, I woke up just the opposite. I would wake up with knots in my stomach because I had to go to a job that didn't fulfill me, that didn't nurture my spirit, that didn't allow me to feel like I was really being a valuable contribution to society and impacting and transforming people's lives. And I believe when you're missing that, there's always going to be a void that makes you feel like you are laying on a table waiting for someone to give you that little pump to help your heart start racing again. And for me, I wanted that. I wanted that heartbeat. I wanted that thing that's like, yes, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. And so many of us are just walking around like we flatline. Like, there's no real passion in what we do. But we go and we put a smile on our face and we go to the job because we need the paycheck. And we don't ever give ourselves permission to say, I deserve better than this. I deserve more. You get one shot at this thing. Like, we hear it all the time. But for me, it became reality when my father passed away that same year I started my business. At the end of the year, 2009, Thanksgiving Day, my dad passed away. He was 59.
Mm.
He passed away of a massive heart attack in his sleep on Thanksgiving Day. That was the first call I got on Thanksgiving morning. So for me, that became even more real that, wow, chick, you had better get out and live. Like, stop wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
Stop talking about what you should do, could do. Oh, you wish you had the courage to try, and just get out and do it. Because the reality is that I can always come back to safe. I can always come back to what I know. Jobs ain't going nowhere. If I really want a job, I can get a job tomorrow. But
mm-hmm.
will I always have the vigor and the vitality and the youthfulness and the energy and everything I need to go hard at pursuing my dream? No. Because what's going to happen? My body's going to get older, right? My mind's going to get older.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always going to be able to do what I do now at the level, with the level of intensity that I do it right now. So I owe it to myself to say, I'm going to put safe on hold. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to take
mm-hmm.
some chances. I'm going to take some risks. I'm going to play all out. I'm going to fail, fall down, and get back up. And then if I choose, at the end of trying all that, if I choose that I want to go back to safe, then I give myself permission to go back to safe. But I at least owe it to myself to see what else is out there.
You know, and it's amazing. I asked you about the book about flatlining. And then as you're speaking and talking, there's another book that you wrote called The Fearless Living Experience. And it's almost like you just transitioned from being on that table to waking up and
yeah.
living fearlessly. Was that the book after that, or where was that in the collection of the books that you've written?
Yeah, I mean, you called that right correctly, absolutely correctly, because How I Flatlined was my very first book. It was my first book that I ever had written, ever. So
mm-hmm.
in 2010,
mm-hmm.
I wrote How I Flatlined, and The Fearless
mm-hmm.
Living Experience was my third book. So you're right,
ah,
I had gone from
okay.
the space of feeling like I flatlined to the space of, wow, I feel confident, I feel courageous, I feel fearless, I'm going out into the world and creating the reality that I want. So yeah, it was a different, and that's the beauty about seeing yourself evolve over time when you're in the journey,
mm-hmm.
is that you can kind of see that evolution, like, wow, I remember when. Like, I didn't always sound like I sound now. Like, now I'm fired up every time I talk to somebody. I'm like, yes, I get to tell somebody something about what I do. But I didn't always feel that way. When I was going to corporate,
sure.
you did not get this, Cheryl. You didn't get this energy and this passion because it was literally, it was beneath so many layers of discouragement, so many layers of, oh, is this all my life
mm-hmm.
is meant to be? So many layers of, really? Like, this is all? It was buried beneath so many layers that you couldn't even get to the real Cheryl. You couldn't even get to the girl who had such potential and possibilities lying within her. And so this Cheryl that you hear today is a very different Cheryl than you hear when I first started out.
But, you know, it's interesting. The Cheryl today was not tolerated or allowed and is not tolerated or allowed in most corporate environments because you are not empowered to have the energy and vigor and passion that you have about being yourself. And what you do when you're speaking to people, because I've seen the audience when you start and the audience during your speeches, they get that energy that exudes from you. How do you... But what would you encourage someone who is looking to find that passion? And I know you speak to a lot of ladies groups, but as a man and as a male, we're all in the same boat here when we talk about going to a job versus finding our passion and living our dream.
And so, you know, if I'm understanding you right, you're asking me what is my suggestion on how you get started on that?
What would be your advice to someone who is sitting out there who says, yeah, I hear what Cheryl's saying. I'd love to be able to take that step. How do I motivate myself? What mindset do I need to develop to be able to do something like that and to realize?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. It really is a mindset that, you know what, I am good enough to do it right now to at least get started with what I have. And I think a lot of times people focus so much on what they don't have or what they're lacking, or they're so focused on where they want to go 5 years from now that they don't start with, well, how do I want my life to change just in the next 6 months or 12 months? What can I do different to at least put myself on the trajectory of getting to that life that I want in 5 years? So imagine, you know, back in 2009, if I said, oh, I want to be Cheryl Wood, you know, the international speaker, and I want to be Cheryl Wood, a seven-figure earner, and I, you know, that might have seemed so unrealistic. But could I just start with, I want to be Cheryl Wood who runs my own business? Like, that's a simple step. And then I can go from that to, okay, I want to be Cheryl Wood, the person who runs a successful business that is bringing in $75,000 a year that replaces my current income so that I can walk away from my full-time job. So you can literally start with some baby steps and some goals that get you at least get you moving. And then when you get moving, then you can create those kind of big, huge, huge, unrealistic, even more unrealistic goals. Oh, now I want to be Cheryl Wood, the international speaker who's traveling to all parts of Africa that I can't even pronounce. You know what I mean? So start somewhere is the point. Like, just start somewhere. Like, how could I change my life? What could be different about my life that would make it better, that would make it happier, that would make me feel more fulfilled just in the next 12 months? What would that look like for me? You know, that is going to definitely require a stretch, but it's possible. And once you see that, then you feel like there's something in you that feels like, okay, well, if I believe it's possible, then that means I can align my actions with that possibility and with the belief. And then I think you need to start talking to yourself. Now, I don't recommend that you answer yourself, but definitely talk to yourself and tell yourself some really good things about you and what you're capable of, and speak it. You know, we hear people say it all the time. It's not just speak it, but that's a big part of it, because the more you tell your subconscious mind something, the more it believes it. I am living proof of that. I used to wake up every morning and say, Cheryl, you're a magnet for success. You're a magnet for wealth and prosperity. You're going to create this amazing life for you and your family where you're not going to have to go to a job every day. You're going to get to just do what you love and create a legacy. And then I would laugh after I said it, because I still had to get up and go to work. So my current reality didn't match the affirmations that I was saying. It didn't match what I was telling myself. But what was happening behind the scenes was that my subconscious mind was hearing this dialogue. It was hearing this new type of self-talk, and it was starting to believe it. So I'd say probably for 4 to 5 months, every time I would say it, I would laugh right after, okay? But by month six, so I'm not even going to say it's happening overnight or 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in. Like, it's going to take a minute for you to really believe it. But I'm telling you, right around month six, one day I remember saying that same thing, and I would just woke up, and I would say it as soon as I opened my eyes, before I even stepped foot out the bed, Cheryl, you're a magnet for success. You're a magnet for wealth and prosperity. You're going to do amazing things in the world, blah, blah. I would go through this affirmation. And this time I didn't laugh. This time I kind of said, well, you know what? Why can't I? I'm smart enough. I go and I work for somebody else 40 hours a week. I'm helping to make them richer and wealthy. Why can't I? And I was like, whoa, like I surprised myself when I had a dialogue back, like, whoa, okay, I didn't laugh this time. So I didn't realize that over that 6 months, I was planting seeds for belief in my dream. And that belief in the dream is what led to me then saying, okay, well, now that I believe it, what are the real actions, the consistent actions that I can take that align with the belief? So if I believe that I have what it takes to become a successful international speaker, what do I need to do to align with that? Well, I need to be speaking. So that might mean I need to get out and I need to, number one, leverage relationships with people who can offer me a speaking platform. Number two, that might mean I need to go get out and start getting online and start seeking out speaking opportunities and submitting a speaker proposal. Number three, maybe that means I got to start creating my own event so that I can have a platform to speak just in case nobody offers me an opportunity. So all of my actions were starting to align with all of those seeds that I had planted in the belief that something bigger and better was waiting for me.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I'm going to stop you right there because there's one thing that I really want you to speak on. We're almost out of time, but you made a comment earlier about creating a legacy. And one of the things I noticed and I've followed is you have created your own area, but as far as creating a legacy, there's a young lady named Jaina. Jaina. And she has actually written two books, and she actually is speaking like Mama. Can you talk a little bit about that and what's happened there and what the development process is there? Because Jaina is actually your daughter.
Yes.
Correct? And
that's it.
She's
that's correct.
Actually writing books and speaking. Talk a little bit about that for me, will you? Because there are a lot of people out there who are talking about creating a legacy and involving their children, but they've never brought it into reality.
Yeah, so I really believe that our kids do what we do, not what we say, right? We can say, do this, be this, live your dream, you should get out into the world and see the world. But the reality is, if they don't see us doing it, they're likely not going to do it. And so I wanted to create a different perception for my kids, a different reality for them to see a woman who's not just telling you to live your dream, but a woman who is living her dream so that you can be inspired enough to get out and realize that you also have the potential to live your dream. That's what being in action has done for me. It's about being so much more than just a parent who tells my kids to do something. It's about being the parent, the mom, who lives what I tell my kids. And so that's why entrepreneurship and this whole journey is so important to me. So, you know, when Jaina was 9, yeah, she wrote her first book. But how that happened, I didn't come to her. I didn't press her. I didn't start none of that. She came to me at 9 and said, Mommy, well, you've written, by that time I had written two books, why can't I write a book? It was a question. And my response was,
wow.
You absolutely can. I said, you absolutely can write a book. But the reality is Mommy's not going to write it for you. You have to do the work. You have to write it. Now, Mommy will help you by financing it. I'll finance the project. I'll finance it, and I'll help you get it, you know, get the cover done, design, and get your ISBN number and your barcode and all that stuff that you need to publish the book. But you've got to, it has to be your words, because I didn't want it to show up in the marketplace as a book that I had written for her. I wanted her to have something to take pride in. I wanted her to have something where she said, I did this. So it was a very basic book. I mean, few words, very little words. But how much do you expect from a 9-year-old? So for her, it was something she could take pride in and say, wow, look what I did. And now we move on, and as we went along, she said, Mommy, well, look, it's time for me to write another book, because the first book, well, that was a baby book. By this time, she was 11, and she was like, that was a baby book, but, you know, now I'm a tween. And she said, I want to write another book. So thus, her second book was birthed, which is the Little Book of Youth Tips, where she shares these tips, positive tips for tweens and teens to be able to live a positive life and think brighter about their future. And as a result of that, we started getting these invites for us to come and speak as mother-daughter duo. And then she got invited to come and be the keynote at Howard University, actually has a middle school. She was their keynote speaker there last year. So it's just been these amazing trickle-down effects as a result of me making a decision that I was going to play bigger in life. That trickled down to my kids. And now my baby boy, who's 9, is stalking me because he wanted to write his first book. So it's a beautiful thing to see play out. And I believe all of us owe it to ourselves to impact, you know, 3 places in the world. First, your household, then your zip code, and then global. And it has to be in that order. Your impact has to reach people in your own household first, and then your zip code, which is your city, your state, your region, people in your own backyard, and then you take it globally. And that, in that succession, that allows you to really win big.
Wow, that's some powerful information. And I want to just say thank you for that, because that in itself resonates with me personally, but I know it resonates with a lot of people in the audience. Believe it or not, Cheryl, we're out of time.
No!
I can't believe 30 minutes has gone that fast.
Yes.
But I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend 30 minutes with us. But I'm hoping that during the course of 2017, we can get you back when you get a break in your schedule and you have some time.
That would be wonderful. That would be absolutely. I would love that. And any opportunity where I can share just a word or two, and I think we have to make sure we don't diminish the value of any platform and diminish the value of and the importance of people hearing a positive word. Because sometimes that positive word is a thing that will get people through there until their next moment. You know, it will get people through a tough patch. It will get them through their dark moments where they feel like there's no hope. So for me, any type of platform where it's going to help breathe life into other people and their possibilities and where they're going, it's always an honor for me.
Well, collaboration, we're both fans of George Frazier, and George says your network will determine your net worth. And I truly believe that, and I'm honored again that you spent time with us this evening. And any time that we have the ability to help you or get you involved in our network, we are excited to do that. And always know we're here for you. All right?
Awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, folks, unfortunately, time is up, and as I told you before we got started, that this, hold on to your hats because this show is going to blow you away. And I think based on what I've heard and what Cheryl has been able to share with you, you have gotten exactly that. And I just want you to remember as we close this evening, as we say every week, transform your thinking, transform your world. My name is Elton Schaul, and I'm your host. And once again, I am so happy that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to grace me with your presence. Until next week, God bless and good night.